Hey guys, before we start this episode, I just want to make a huge announcement. For season 3, we are on Spotify. That's right. This episode right now has been aired also on Spotify. So if you're watching on YouTube, go check out Spotify. See us there on Real Talk LA. You'll be able to listen to us whenever you want on the go. Now let's get on with the episode. Hey guys, and welcome back to Real Talk LA.
Yeah.
Today we got Eddie, Maria, Adriel, and me, Joshua. We're doing an audio-only podcast today. So there's this article about Mexico Soccer Federation that is in hot water with FIFA. Why is that? Because their audience are saying some not very nice words. Eddie, would you like to elaborate?
So basically what the Mexican fans are chanting is when the goalkeeper kicks off the ball from their goal line, they are saying a specific type of slur word.
Which we will not say here on the podcast.
That is offensive to a specific region of people. And basically what FIFA is trying to do is they're trying to crack that down by ultimately suspending Mexico, fining them, and possibly taking away the World Cup from them, as well as playing games with no fans in attendance.
Mm. So, why is this so bad?
You want to start? Because we were doing some research, right?
Research. Indeed, we were doing some research before the podcast.
Okay. Do you have the numbers?
I remember the numbers.
Okay. You can do it then.
Well, you remember the numbers. Yeah.
Eddie, so, 88% of Mexicans are have some type of Christian belief, whether it's Christianity, Catholicism, yeah. And et cetera.
And what does that mean?
So, what we're trying to, the point we're trying to make right here is that 88% of the population in Mexico have some type of religion, believe in Jesus, or they have some type of based on the Bible. But what's going on here with the article that we're talking about, they're all and no matter, we were talking about this, no matter where they make the game, like what states were you talking about, Eddie? Pachuca, Guerrero.
It doesn't matter where it's at. It's in Mexico City, in Pachuca, in Guadalajara, in Monterrey. Yeah. All of these fans, majority of these fans, are saying the slur. And even in the United States, whenever Mexico is playing in the U.S., whether it's in Los Angeles, Dallas, Atlanta, New York, those fans as well are continuing the...
Mm-hmm. So the question is, how can... Because that's, what'd you say,
22 out of 25 people
in the stadium have some type of religion. And how can this be happening if they believe in Jesus, right?
Well, first, I think we have to find out, because, I mean, we know, but we have to ask, why are they doing it? What is their motive in saying something so disgraceful?
I guess...
out loud.
Passion for the game, you could say, but
too much passion.
But there's also different ways you can show passion, and as Christians, we have to take different ways. And the thing is, the point of this is that a lot of people would consider, oh, all these people believe in God, they believe in Christ, they're all hypocritical, they're not living the same thing they're saying they are. And the thing we have to point out is that a lot of these people
have adapted a religion.
They have a religion in their lives. And what does that mean? Well, they pretty much just claim the title. I have a friend that when we were talking about God and stuff, we were talking and he was like, well, I'm a Catholic. And I was like, really? You go to church? You believe in Jesus and everything? Well, my parents do it, so technically it's passed down to me. Oh, okay. So when people say they're Catholic, sometimes they just take it as, well, it's like a race thing. It's passed down.
Yeah, that is very true. They do. I mean, coming from a Catholic family myself, I was actually looked down on because I decided to pursue Christianity instead of Catholic faith. And actually, once I turned 15, I decided to not, because I had done my first communion. And then when you're 15, you're supposed to do like some type of confirmation. Mm-hmm. And I had to stand up to my mom and be like, Mom, I'm doing my own thing. I need you to respect that. And I need to move on. But I did get a lot of backlash from family members saying how I was going to hell because I got out of my family's tradition and that you don't do that.
Which is crazy.
Yeah, and it's just become a tradition at this point. It's not even a relationship that is the whole point of Christianity. And
an issue that I find though that with what they're doing is that obviously the issue is that their relationship with God and Jesus is basically
non-existent.
But as well, they justify themselves by saying, "Oh, what we're saying isn't a slur word. It's just a word that we use to in protest of
it could be cultural though. I did know a certain group of people that came from a certain part of Mexico, to be more specific, they came from Guadalajara and they were Christian. They were like the most, I mean, seeing them was like they were like so devoted.
Yeah. No, we're not saying every Catholic Christian that is from Mexico is
bad,
you know, but it's just a point we're trying to make, that a lot of people from Mexico that call themselves Christians, mm-hmm, don't really reflect the love of Jesus in their lives.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, we're talking about Mexico right now, but this is happening all around the world, in the U.S., Europe, all over the place. All not the chant per se, but the hypocritical lifestyle.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
The hypocritical lifestyle. They say they're one thing, but when you see them, they're completely different.
And the crazy thing is that they're everywhere. You can have them in your church as well, where they're going, because it, you know, it feels. I've met a lot of people that say, "Well, I just like how I feel when I come," but you don't really see any changes in them. They're still doing the same old stuff, but they just like how they feel when they come here. Like it's like a fulfillment.
It's a little tingle,
Okay, I'm good. I already went Sunday, so the rest of the week I can sin and act the way I've been acting. And then I'll come back on Sunday and, you know, do the whole, like a ritual kind of thing, you know?
Like a religion.
Yeah, religion.
And to add what Josh was saying, you know, maybe these people aren't saying a specific slur, but they are saying F you to all of these basketball players or football players or even other players. They're saying disgraceful things maybe to family members to get them under their skin. And, you know, they say it's the passion that they have for the game. It gives them the reason to do what
That's the crazy part. That's something I hear all the time. Sometimes with especially words, people say, well, there's no other word I can use to express it. It's just that intense of a feeling. And they use that excuse, right?
Yeah.
I've heard that a lot of times. But what does this mean? That we have to be observant, because a lot of people will claim the title of Christian, but not a lot of them will fall beyond short. And a lot of us fall short, but we just got to make sure that what does it mean to be a Christian? It means to follow Jesus. It means to have a relationship with Jesus.
And I also wanted to add to, like, for us not to be super, like, I know that they are living a religion, but that's all they know. A lot of people haven't had that encounter.
And we're talking about that.
So too. Maybe have like, you know, if you're going to like direct somebody, like, you know, and you want to see a change in them, do it with love and be like, hey, brother, you know, like they're people, you know, they're doing their best. They're soccer players, that their families are there and they're hearing these chants, like they're basically at work, like soccer players. That's their job. They're getting paid to do that. And then to be hearing that while you're working, while you're trying your best, it's shameful to the sport. It's shameful to the people. It's shameful to the families. So to just have that respect, imagine you're at work, right? And your family shows up to go see you work and to cheer you on, and all of, and somebody in the corner is just telling like all these slurs at you. Like nobody wants to see that, and that is something to look at. Like look at, if you can't look at it as a spiritual type of way, look at it as that. Like, hey, you know, it's never okay to do that, and for us to show people that, and not like claim like, hey, no, well, they're wrong because they're following a religion, and they are. But to have that love and be like, hey, you know, that's all they know. At some point, they don't know relationship yet.
They don't know relationship. So, and there's also another thing that's happened this week. Ooh. Ooh. They're smiling. They're smiling at me right now.
What happened this week?
I wonder what happened.
What happened this week? So, we don't like getting into politics that often.
No, we don't.
At all.
At all. We don't get into that. We don't tell you who to vote for, who the candidate that God is calling you to vote for is. We don't believe in any of that. What the government, that's its own beast. And we do not confide in it 100% ever. But recently, you have the new Biden and Trump debate that came up recently.
Ooh.
And what did you guys get out of that? If you've watched it, what did you get out of that?
I haven't watched it.
I got some type of
brutal honesty.
I got some type of entertainment. And honestly, in a whole lot of scheme, it was pretty boring with some entertaining things. But yeah, as far as that goes, that's as far as
but
it goes.
when you say entertaining things, hey, it's a debate. It should be just civil.
It should
factual
be civil
information.
It became
a show.
Yeah, it did, just like how it was 4 years ago. Hey, you see, this time I'm even more excited to watch a presidential golfing game than a debate now.
Let's put them in the ring. Give them gloves.
Put them in the ring, yeah.
So, as you can see, we have found out that even the presidents are still human. Yeah. They are still human beings.
I feel it has more to do with their age. I feel like when you become 80 something, you turn into a little kid again, and hurting someone's feeling becomes more important than actually doing something of value to the country. That's how I felt about it.
Human.
Again, yeah. And there's been a great division there because a lot of people are saying, "Oh no, this one's right. Oh no, Biden's right. Oh, Trump's right."
Yeah. This guy had a point in this situation. This guy had a point. That guy could definitely beat him at golf. Yeah. People have put their faith in the government. They put their faith in the government and people. Which is not inherently a bad thing, but they've put their faith in people way more beyond what faith in God. Mm-hmm. We've lost the faith in God in this generation, and we've lost the faith in God in every, like, pretty much a lot of generations past. They've decided to work on their own human strength and everything. And what happens when you have these presidential elections? You get fear. You get division, like Edril said. You get anger. You get even like uncontrollable anxiety, like sometimes.
Inside out, too.
I remember when it came to the presidential debate, it was the first time Trump was running. Mm-hmm. I remember my teacher, like I'm seeing the election results and everything. He immediately says to the whole class, "Yeah, we're all going to die. World War III is coming." To the whole class. It's crazy how like to eighth graders. Eighth graders. To eighth graders. And I was like, wow, that's unhinged. But you see how like it really dictates, like the government is not the thing that we're supposed to be looking up to for mm-hmm. protection. Like, yeah, you expect it sometimes, but the thing is, there is one person, one being, and that is God, that we should be putting our faith in.
What the Bible is telling us, it's showing us, like, when you have a life directed and lived off of what, you know, God has spoken and God is saying in these times, like, the Bible is a true guide. You know not to be conflicted because you're trusting in the one that has your life in his hands. And you know not to be conflicted, even in these situations as, you know, that the government and all of these different things. Like, I honestly, I've seen, especially like when COVID came, all of this stuff, I saw lack around a lot of people. But you know what? Like, God, in that time, actually, God blessed me so much. And I was like, wow, like, I'm being blessed over here financially. I'm not here to rub it in people's faces. I know a lot of people received a lot of harsh, you know, things and stuff in those times, but to put your life and your trust in God is honestly in good times and in bad times to be like, Lord, you're in control 100% of the time. Whatever has to happen, you know, for people to turn their hearts to you, right? Because I'm pretty sure even the people of Israel, you know, when they were in Egypt, they saw a lot of hardship. They saw mm-hmm. the crops wither. They saw a bunch of stuff coming, but they still trusted in God. They were not gone when that happened. They were in there when that happened. And that was prophesied and that was foretold because Moses was telling them what was going to happen. And they still remained there. They still remained trusting in God. And then they eventually got out, but they were in the storm with God. And that's what we're doing now is we're in the storm with God. Doesn't mean, you know, he's not going to show up for us. He's going to show up for us 100% of the time.
Mm-hmm. And pretty much in these times, especially, you see, like, people are living in fear of the future, like you said. And we think the world is actually governed by humans. But the reality is God is governing, and in his time, things will happen. And to get into our topic, human nature. The human condition. So we're talking about all these things that are happening in the current days, and it's just a natural thing to talk about, like, what is the human condition of today's generation? And so Isaiah says the human condition is lost. We have wandered astray. But why? Why have we wandered astray?
Because we're putting our faith in the humans and people in the
world. And also losing our faith in God.
God.
But what caused that? What caused loss of faith?
I think with what everything it's happening right now with a lot of people is fearing, like, you know, what you see that's going on in the world with the hunger, the war, right now in the United States, the presidential election. I think a lot of people have more fear of what's going to happen than trusting God instead.
The internet. You know, it goes back to what we were talking about, I believe, almost like a month ago, on how social media and the internet influences so many people on thinking other things. You know, I go to Twitter right now, and it's so many opinions on so many very gray line matters, and it's people basically fighting over it, insulting one another, and it kind of makes one feel scared and afraid to have to be in the minority of an opinion, because then you'll just be attacked and feel like and basically feel outcasted. And I feel like within Christianity and other religions out there, that's how most people are starting to feel as more is passing by, because people are questioning more, having more questions that they don't want to go out looking for an answer. Mm,
that's the key right there. But they're all wandered astray. They all lost. But why it's don't they want to look for the answer?
I feel also it's generational. Like
trauma?
Faith is not just trauma, but faith is also passed on generationally. We can see after Moses left, who was the other guy that was left in charge?
Joshua,
your best friend, yeah. Joshua was left in charge, and he completely just everybody stopped looking. You know what I mean? Stop doing the stuff that they were doing before generationally, and led the people astray. A lot of people started doing other things, worshiping other gods, worshiping other idols. Mm-hmm. And so, if the family, the nuclear family, you know, they're not looking for God, neither are their children. And let me tell you, their children are not going to teach their children. It is just not going to happen, you know? And so they start to look for other things, which is alcohol, drugs, you know, flesh satisfactions. All of that stuff can be passed down, too. We've seen parents that, you know, were deep in pornography. Now their kids are deep in pornography. We see parents that were deep in drugs, and then their kids become drug addicts. Same with faith. If you're not a faithful person, you're not living your true faith in God, you pass that on to your kids. You're living a double life. You're one person here and one person out there. Your kids will live that as well. Mm-hmm. So it's also passed on generationally, and we've seen that. We've seen how they took in God out of schools. They took in God out of even churches now. There's churches that are dedicated to themselves.
They are. That's crazy.
So
yeah, and I asked the pastora earlier today.
Yeah.
And she was talking about this. I was asking, you know, everything that is going with the, specifically with the movies, you know, how they're trying to put everything of I don't know,
indoctrinate like right now. The yeah. children, indoctrinate yeah, 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 yeah. people. They're trying
to and I was like, I was questioning because I saw people saying, talking about, you know, the new movie Inside Out.
Yeah.
A lot of people talking about how Riley has male and woman. Mm-hmm. How do you
emotions?
Emotions, yeah. And so a lot of people were saying, oh, they're trying to. The word you said?
Indoctrinate
our children. She's non-binary, and they're trying to teach her children it's okay to be confused at an early age, and I don't know what all this stuff. And I was asking the pastora, should we draw a line where we should stop questioning everything, and instead, because I feel like there's a line between questioning because you want to do the right thing and questioning because you're just religious. And so what Pastora was telling me is that it all comes down to having a foundation form. Mm-hmm. So that's why she was telling me I'm not a dad. So she was telling me that's why it's important that parents draw a line of foundation of God. Yeah. To their kids and to their family in general.
Like, ultimately, that's what's going to make a difference. Yeah. Because I see parents that say the same thing. No, I don't want him to watch this, that, because they're showing this. I'm like, okay, what's going to happen when he goes to the mall, to this restaurant, and to that? He's going to see it everywhere. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, what's gonna make the difference is how you have, you know, showed God to them. How does that look like, having a relationship with God? How have you explained it? Are you very like, no, that's wrong and that's it? Or you actually go deep into the Bible and say, this is what the Word of God says. This is your identity. Mm-hmm. He says, man and woman, he created them. He says not to lean on your own understanding. He's, you know, don't not follow your heart, because it, you know, it's like really a tricky thing.
Yeah, and not only that, but also to show what Jesus can do with actions, pretty yeah. much. Because a lot of people that say they're Christians, parents that say Christians, but their kids are just over there doing anything they want, and they just don't care. Yeah. So you have to really show them. You have to, I don't know, show them love. Show them. Pretty much, you have to reflect Jesus in your life.
Yeah.
We have wandered astray, and what you guys are talking about, it's literally what's been happening. A lot of us, especially these coming generations, have decided to completely neglect the past education of the children. Like, each parent teaches their children a different way, and now we've completely neglected what we've learned in the past and decided to do our own thing. But the thing is, there's a balance to all these. The Bible shows us, and like Maria said, you can't avoid these things. You can't just try to hide them forever, which a lot of parents are trying to do. They try to hide them. They're like, okay, we're going to put him here. We're going to hide him from this.
Put
this,
him in a
this.
Bubble, basically.
Yeah, never show him. But the thing is, we have to confront these things. Mm-hmm. If we are to be able to learn and be able to have a solid foundation, you have to confront everything. Because if you have, like, let's say you built your foundation, but then all these other things that you've never confronted
or
experienced, then that foundation is going to get immediately like hammered on.
And that's what really happens. I had a friend actually that her whole life she was in a Christian school, everything Christian. Her mom wouldn't let her do anything, like, and she ended up going to middle school and started a regular middle school. I'm telling you, that school completely destroyed her faith, completely destroyed her bubble, because she didn't know how to back out of peer pressure. She didn't, like, you know what I mean? Even though they taught her about the Bible and all of this stuff, she never really experienced what it was to say no to something. And even if you said yes to something, how to come out of it. And one thing that my husband preached about last Friday that really impacted me is, like, you're not going to grow your faith by nothing ever happening to you. It's when things happen to you and how you react to them that builds your faith. And so that's another thing, too. You can't mm-hmm. put your children in a bubble. Mm-hmm.
A good analogy for that would be like a builder building a house, and he's building the house for the first time. The house falls. Yeah. He learns from his mistakes, yeah, builds it back up. Mm-hmm. And every single time he builds it back up, it's stronger. Eddie, what do you think about that? You're making a weird face at me. What do you think?
Nah, I'm not making no weird face. But it got me thinking, you know, how Adriel said about the Inside Out movie, and like, where do we draw the line, ask questions and all that? I'm going to ask a question.
Go ahead.
Where does the line come across when, watching movies, doing stuff like going to Universal Horror Nights, Not Scary Farm, or even playing video games that promotes shooting and murdering.
You have to look all the way back to the core of everything. The core of everything. Sometimes we're questioning, like, the main thing I always say is when we're questioning, like, a lot, like, whether we should be doing this, that's when we should be like, you know what, maybe I just won't do it just in case. Because the thing is, the Bible says, let me pull up the verse, I'll get it right now. So, the verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23. I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but not everything is constructive. What does that mean? You have the right. You could do whatever you want. Mm-hmm. In reality, that's the thing God gave you, free will. You could do whatever you want. You can do this. You can do that. It might not say specifically in the Bible, but the thing is, not everything is beneficial.
Yeah.
And this could go roots. If you take this to heart, it can go roots. You can be like, maybe I shouldn't be
putting garbage in my food. The question should it be, should I do this? Maybe the question should be, how is this going to be beneficial?
How is it going to be constructive to my life?
Yeah.
And ultimately, when those kind of questions come into your head, this is one thing that I tell a lot of people that come and they tell me, like, I would love to tell them, yeah, it is wrong. This is wrong. But
I would love to tell them
that. That's going to happen is you're going to stop doing those things because you want to fit in, and you're going to stop doing those things because you think it's the right thing to do, but you're going to frustrate yourself.
And that also leads to a religion.
So what happens is this is what I recommend to a lot of new Christians, a lot of people that are really questioning those things, is pray about it. Pray about it. Ask God, show me. I'm conflicted about this, and show me. Like, honestly, make my heart turn whenever I watch that movie or this. And you know what? That happened to me. I actually was into Vampire Diaries, and I was like, yeah, that's so cool, Twilight Vampire Diaries. And I was deep into that when I was like 18. And in one occasion, and I remember God telling me, like, you shouldn't be watching this. And I was like, nah, I'm good. Nah. It's just a show. It's fake. And one time I went home after binge watching it, I started seeing stuff. And that's when I was like, I absolutely cannot watch this show anymore.
But okay, question. If you never saw those things, if it never had negatively impacted you in your life.
And that's the thing. It's not always going to show up like that. What it's going to start doing, it's going to start eating at you. It's going to start making you, you're going to start doing that. Like, oh, this was okay. And then ultimately you're going to start trying harder stuff.
Oh,
almost like a drug.
Exactly. But Josh had told me a few weeks ago that those things open doors for evil to go into your life. But is there a line that it just crosses that it just doesn't happen because it.
Well, that's a thing. It's a really vague line. You got to watch out because if you do feel like it's opening doors, then close those doors. Yeah. If you feel like it's opening all these things in your life, you got to close them.
Yeah, and because God in his grace, he's going to give you a lot of opportunities and moments. Like, for example, it didn't have to come to that. God was already speaking to my heart and making me, honestly, I would feel uncomfortable when I was watching it. But my brain was like, no, it's so good. And then that had to happen because God's like, eso no va a escuchar si no le enseño que es spiritual. It's spirituality is real. Like, there's stuff that manifests in the spirit realm that can manifest in your life for real.
But the thing is that I want to go to something that Josh and I were talking about Hornets in specific. Mm-hmm. You know, me celebrating, me going to Horror Nights, working at Horror Nights, or going to Horror Nights to have the experience is bad because it opens doors. Whether I believe it or not, it's going, why open those doors in the beginning? Why am I going to let a door be there when it just shouldn't be there?
If you start pulling those things away from your life and you start like actually getting rid of those things, then when you actually go back and see these things, you're going to be a little bit uncomfortable. You're going to be like, dang, I was okay with that.
Yeah,
just like Maria was saying, like, she was perfectly fine with Vampire Diaries. It was nothing to her, nothing. But now when she looks back, she was like, dang, that really messed me up.
But at the same time, like Adriel said, instead of asking, should I do this? It's like, what is it helping me in? For Maria, at a certain point in time, it didn't negatively impact her. And she generally believed that it didn't.
Also, too, like, it's not just about, this is something that you're going to have a battle with. It's not just about if it's bad for you, because we tend to do that. It's not bad for me. Okay, but is it good for God that you're watching that stuff or you're in partaking in those things? Is it showing any type of devotion to God? Is it doing anything for your relationship with God? Or is it just desensitizing you? Because a lot of the times we act out on our own, what we want, what it's doing to me. But also, do you think God is pleased when you partake in those things? Is it pleasing God? And if it's not, and you're like, well, you know, it's not pleasing God, then that answers your question. Then you're just gratifying your flesh.
Then taking it even a step further, as you get deeper into following Christ and all these things, you end up taking responsibilities. You end up maybe taking leadership, pastor, everything. What would it be like if you saw your leader posting, oh, I went to this event. I went to, let's just say it's the same thing, concept, like your club, Horror Nights, all these different places. Imagine your leader just posts a picture and goes this. You're justifying, you're affecting the people under you. It's no longer just about you. You're justifying it to them. They're like, if that guy can do it, then I can too. Yeah. So we got to think about it like that. We may be the rock that trips then.
Yeah, that's true too. And honestly, it's just comes down to the condition of your heart and how God reveals things to you. I've met people that still to this day are, you know, they go to church and they're still clubbing, they're still doing their stuff, and I guess God has not revealed it to them because that's how they feel about it. But it's also too like the projection of your heart, like how accessible you are to God. Are you really asking God, like, you know, study my heart, you know, whatever you don't like? That's one thing you need to do every day, is whatever you don't like, God, reveal it to me so I can change it, because I want to please you ultimately. Yeah. I want to have a relationship that pleases you.
All right, this has been Real Talk LA part one. Be right back. Hey guys, and welcome back to the second part of Real Talk LA.
Woohoo!
Yeah, we got Star in the building now.
Yeah, how to kick out Eddie.
Eddie's still in the background. He can grab the mic whenever he wants to. But we were talking about the human condition. We got a little bit off the rails, but honestly, we're going to keep that in because that was just raw, real talk right there, right?
Period.
So, the human condition. Right before we started recording again, we were talking about Noah. And why were we talking about Noah, Maria?
Well, because a lot of the time right now, people are saying how bad the world is. And in Revelations, it is said that when Jesus returns, that the world, the condition of the world will be like the times of Noah. So we are living those times of Noah. And if I don't know if you guys recall what happened with Noah, but there was a great flood that basically destroyed humanity with the exception of him, who was, what was he doing? Following God, obeying God. And we see people right now that are in that position too. We have people that are obeying God, and then we have people that really don't want nothing to do with God.
But what, why would he flood them? What was the issue back then in the day? Like, why does it relate to us now?
Because there was a lot of evil in the world, and there's still a lot of evil today. So even though God promised never to end the world, right, by a flood. That's all he said, by a flood. So
he said that one exception. You got that rainbow in the sky. That rainbow in the sky. No more floods for you.
No more floods. Exactly. That was a promise.
You said nothing about fire.
Exactly. No, exactly. So we read in the book of Revelation, it literally explains to us exactly like what times we're living in. It's honestly like a guidebook, and for us to keep our eyes fixed on God. To not lose sight on what is actually important, our eternity, because we're going to be here momentarily. The way we live right now, a lot of people say, no, well, it doesn't matter how I live right now, you know. It matters a lot, because that's your gate, your key to enter heaven. How you're living, are you living a life that's according to the word of God? You're living a life that is worthy to enter heaven? Mm-hmm. What would you think?
Well, first, like she said, we recognize that right now the human condition is just terrible. Like, yes, as humans, we change, we evolve, but sometimes we go back. Mm-hmm. And just like the Bible said, we went back to like the times of Noah.
Yeah.
Confusion, sexual immorality, yep. Murder, a lot of murder going on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just horrible.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
And a lot of people having the revelation still doubt if there is a God or not.
But the thing is, they use the excuse of the why everything bad is happening for not to believe in God.
Mm-hmm.
Although God did say that all this stuff was gonna occur again. So I wanted to talk about, so we had a preacher actually come on Sunday, and he was a doctor, and he was in the medical he is a doctor. Well, yeah, he never loses that doctor. And he throughout the years witnessed a lot of people have those moments of
near to death.
Well, actually dying and actually reviving. And with that, he was able to see so many testimonies of similar things happening.
Mm-hmm.
Like there were some people that went to heaven and God gave them the decision to either just stay here or go back. People always get back, always come back without their will, because God always tells them, you have a plan.
Yeah.
We have a plan for your life. And then there's those others that when they die, they see darkness. Like they see pain. Huh?
Like the one example.
Like that one example. We were talking about this too. It was the example of when this person passed away 3 times, got resuscitated 3 times, and every single time he went to the same dark place where he was being tortured, where his skin was being peeled
by demons,
and his skin regenerating and then getting peeled again. So he had infinite moments of excruciating pain.
Mm-hmm.
And when it came to him talking to the doctor, which was a Christian, they were discussing, and the doctor tells him, you have witnessed so much pain, but God has given you grace because he revived you all those times. He's giving you a chance. He's giving you a sign. He's giving you a warning that what is ahead is not going to be pretty. You can change. Mm-hmm. You have hope. You don't have to go back there. I have great news for you. Follow Jesus. You won't go back. And what did the guy respond?
No.
Thank you.
No, thank you.
But why did he say no?
Because turns out that he was a biologist. And
professor?
Professor, biologist. And he was pretty much an atheist that didn't believe
in. He wrote books about atheism, Darwinism, and everything, evolution. The, if you don't know, which everyone probably knows, it's pretty much we came from nothing, we formed from nothing, we grew from cell this to ape to what we are now.
Nothing is created, it's just
it just is.
It just is.
No, we came from the chango, or the monkey.
Monkeys. We came from monkeys. We evolved from monkeys.
Mm-hmm.
And well, he said no. And after witnessing like all that pain and suffering, you would assume that why would he say no if he clearly does not want to go back there? Because he did not want to go back there. Who would ever want to go back there? And the thing is, that's also the human condition of today.
Yeah.
We live in arrogance, ignorance. Yeah. We live in pride. If whatever we say is, and that is it.
And I think what this professor experienced is what is it has to do a lot with what was happening back then when Jesus came to the earth. He was doing miracles, but people
ooh.
Were Jesus. Were
yeah, no, no, and I said ooh.
I didn't say who.
Who's that?
Jesus was doing miracles, and still people was questioning, like he, like they were saying, oh no, he has to be. Como se dice, witch? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Brujo. And they were questioning. Huh?
Well, technically, it's a wizard.
wizard. I don't know what.
He's a magician.
Yes. Other people were questioning even lo apedrean. Yeah. How do you say that?
Throw stones at him.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I guess you can relate that what this professor he had the revelation. He was able to see all this stuff, but he still was questioning God for some reason.
Yeah, and in the same way, how like you said, they witnessed miracles, they witnessed Jesus. We also talked about it connects everything, just connecting together. We're talking with La Pastora again, my mom. We're talking about Judas.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
Judas. And why would we talk about Judas? I have no idea. But it came up, and it was a very valid point. Trading. Judas, which what we discovered, me and him freshly.
Yeah,
we discovered that Judas, his incentive wasn't just money.
Just money. Yeah.
Would you believe that Judas betrayed Jesus for just money? What do you believe? What do you know right now
about Judas? Like what did he do with just money?
He was greedy, and
he just wanted money.
Ultimately, yeah, wanted money. Yeah, he was known already for doing that. Mm-hmm. He was known.
But what we just discovered is that he was from.
He had a background of like super radical Jewish people. Mm-hmm. Super and radicalism. And what did radical Judas believe?
A change. No, they wanted a change in against the government, right?
Oh, yeah, that they were awaiting for someone to change, like, the Christ that they were promised, then, right? Mm-hmm. Biblically, like, they were like, no, we were promised somebody that was going to come and reform everything that the Roman Empire is doing.
So they grew up with that mentality of changing the everything.
Yeah.
And so when Jesus came into Judah's life, he followed him because he saw it. He was a leader. He was a leader. Yeah. So he wanted to see the everything happening, but when nothing happened and it didn't happen the way he wanted, it was so easy for him to betray Jesus for some money.
And he regretted it, but never asked for forgiveness for it. And that's the thing. That's what we're living in right now.
Yeah, we have people. I mean, we don't know much about this doctor that you just mentioned. You know, we have a lot of people that, like you said, you know, they haven't. Jesus didn't show up the way they wanted or intended, and for that, like, he doesn't exist. Mm. We have Kanye West, who said,
"Oh, yeah. Kanye West."
What did he say? I prayed to Jesus and I told him to do this, 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 and this. He's not a genie. And I think that's what he was expecting, like magic to happen, and for his wishes, you know, and his desires to come true and right away. And I honestly believe. Yes, God can do it. God can do anything. But I also believe that there's always a reason why God doesn't do certain things.
Mm-hmm. So, with the... I made an appearance, by the way. Sorry, Josh.
No, that's the whole point. You made me.
All right. Obviously, the whole... we have faith. Mm-hmm. But why is this for people like Kanye, mm-hmm. And just in general... They lose that faith because things happen to them. Mm-hmm. Why do such bad things happen to what's supposed to be such good people? Well, I know that's why I'm generalizing it.
The day because
for example, like in his case, I'm not going to justify anything mm-hmm. that he's doing or saying at all. It's very horrible. But his mother and his best friend died all within the span of a year. Mm-hmm. Very, very hard for someone to go through something like that. And then I imagine there's other people that probably go through worse things.
Yeah.
I guess my question is two questions. Why can such bad things happen so fast to people who think that they are such good people? And then as well, how can one still keep faith, if not strengthen it, because I'd assume in those moments you wouldn't need even stronger faith than you normally would.
You first.
Yeah, you do have a point there. It's really hard to keep on the path after such things happen. In my case, my dad died of cancer. It was, and I got away from the path. But the thing is, what are you gonna do after? Are you going to come back and are you going to follow Jesus, or just are you going to do the opposite, which is what he's doing? I think it's important to see that God has a purpose for everything. And for me, it got me closer to him because after everything what happened, I was able to understand that there is a purpose for everything. And I not only got closer to him, but I'm getting people closer to him.
Ooh. One thing that I think what helped people in this time, and especially if you're Christian, is just because you follow Christ doesn't mean nothing ever's going to happen to you. Jesus was crucified and he was the Son of God. He lost his one of his best friends. He lost Lazarus and then he brought him back. You know, there was a lot of stuff that actually happened to Jesus, you know. And as well as us, like, the promise isn't follow me and you know, nothing bad will ever happen. The promise is follow me and I will always be with you. That means always, bad and good, when you're happy, when you're sad, whenever, Jesus will always be here with you. Another thing is we're so fixated, and this is something that I was going through when my cousin died of cancer. She has two kids, and she's a genuinely one of the best people I ever known. She was she had just accepted Christ. She was, you know, I was praying for her recovery, and I was very, very angry, I think, at God, because I was like, God, how could you take a mother from her kids? How? And to this other girl who's also Christian told me, she got accepted to heaven early. That's what she said. She said she got accepted to heaven early. She must have been really good. She got accepted to heaven early. And I realized our eternity is not here on earth. Whatever happens to us here on earth, yes, we will feel pain. We will feel neglect. We will feel coldness. We will feel all of these things. But our eternity, our reward is ultimately in heaven. And when you have that and you say, you know what, whatever happens here, for example, Ariel, are you, I mean, right now you're working for your not that you're working for your salvation, because you don't work for your salvation, but right now that you're in the path of salvation, you're going to see your Father in heaven. That's the promise, that we're going to see those people in heaven. And generally, as Eddie was saying, like, well, they're not asking for bad things, right? I believe maybe in Kanye's case, he's asking for his family back or his children back. That's something good to ask for, right? But it doesn't work that way. Faith is not about, oh, God gives you what you want and that's how you have your faith. Your faith is given to you on you believing despite God not giving those things to you.
Okay, so I agree with that.
Period.
But now this is from me, who I won't really know the answer to this, so I'm generally asking this.
Okay.
Can you question, you know, God's choices and what Absolutely. He does in your life?
Absolutely.
Or does that go against your faith? Like,
nope. Absolutely. I think you can complain to God. You can, you know, be mad. For myself, I don't know if you guys were here last Friday. Edgar was saying how he was so angry for when I lost two pregnancies. Mm-hmm. I was angry myself. I was like, Lord, there's women out there who are not even married getting pregnant. How? How, Lord? But that's the thing. I still chose to go to him, mm-hmm. even in my anger, even in my frustration. Just like he said, Hannah was crying. She wasn't eating. She was doing all of these things. She was angry. She was frustrated, but she still went to God. And I still chose to believe God. I said, you know what, Lord? I don't understand it. And he told me, do you love me, though? And I was like, I love you. It's like, then you don't need to understand it right now. Just know that I love you and that I'm with you. And he laid all of those questions at peace, because I chose, even in my anger, in my frustration, in my even in my disbelief that I was ever going to be a mom. I was like, Lord, I think there's something wrong with me and I'm probably never going to have kids, but I'm just going to keep following you. I'm going to keep doing. I was ministering at the time. I was still in the worship. I was still with the youth. I was still doing things for him because I genuinely believed and followed him. And so it just comes down to that, like, you choosing despite of your circumstance to follow him.
Yeah, like I may not like what God's choices are for me sometimes, but I trust him. Faith is trust. I trust in him. I have faith in him because I know what I've gone through. I know how I've made it up to here with him backing me up and pushing me forward, that I'm like, you know what? I don't like it, God. I question it, but I have trust in you. that's how I see it. Like, sometimes I'm not gonna like it. I'm not gonna like it. But I'm like, oh, well, you know, I have trust in him and I love you. Well, I love him. So I'm like, all right, let it be what it is. I trust you.
Tight beat.
Thank you, Eddie. Well, in the same way, in all these situations, we trust in also who God is, because he's, like we always sing, he's a way maker, mm-hmm. promise keeper,
yeah. miracle worker,
light in the darkness.
Oh, that is who you are.
That is who you are.
That be
are.
Who he is.
All right, everybody, stand up and worship.
That is who he is. That is who he is. Light in the darkness. Mm-hmm. So, I know a lot of people listening may still have questions. I know Eddie. Oh, he has so many questions. He's so conflicted right now. But just like him, you may have those same conflictions. You may have questions. You may have convictions from what we've said. And you just need to know God is with you. God will always be with you. He will make a way when you think there is no way. All you have to do is give your life to him, mm-hmm. just like he gave it up for you. So,
period.
Are you mocking me?
Bow your head, close your eyes, except if you're driving. Dear God, thank you for everyone that was able to show up. Thank you for Eddie. Thank you for Maria. Thank you for Star. Thank you for Adriel. Thank you for everyone in this room. And Lord, I pray for the people that are not in this room. I pray for those people listening right now that need reassurance, that need to have their faith supported. Lord, I pray that you reveal yourselves to them in their need. Lord, I pray that you meet them there. Lord, I pray that you bless their lives, that this message, these words may impact and may not forsake. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
This has been Real Talk LA. Woo-hoo. Woo-hoo. We'll be seeing you guys next week.
Dude, we were on fire today. I don't know.